So the Pew Health Group within the Pew Charitable Trusts advocates for policies that reduce potentially dangerous health risks to consumer, and health risks in consumer, medical, and food products and services. And the Pew Prescription Project within the health group is an initiative that looks at a number of issues in pharmaceutical safety and appropriate use. One of our major focuses is the pharmaceutical supply chain. And I have no financial interest to disclose. So today I'd like to talk about globalized drug manufacturing and implications for drug quality and safety. I'll begin by looking at an important case study, the contamination of heparin, which is a blood thinner. I'll then talk a bit about globalization of manufacturing and outsourcing, and I'll look at limitations to FDA oversight of manufacturing, and then I'll look at some of our proposals for reform. And what I'll tell you today is based on publicly available documents and data, but it's also based on over 60 background interviews with people who work in industry, people who work at the FDA, state regulators, and also academics. Before we get into heparin, let me share one visualization of our changing drug supply. This chart shows the number of drug products imported into the US from 2001 to 2008. It's more than doubled over an 8-year span, and now it's well over 43,000 products that are imported. One product that has long been made outside of the country is the active ingredient for heparin. Heparin is a blood thinner. It's used in hospitals across the US every day. In late 2007 and early 2008, hospitals started to report an unusual number of adverse events, including deaths in patients taking this drug. After a few months of intense investigation, the adverse events were linked to a contaminant which was called oversulfated chondroitin sulfate, or OSCS. The contaminant was found primarily in heparin sold by Baxter International and was introduced somewhere within a fairly complex manufacturing supply chain. So this is a look at Baxter's supply chain for heparin. Baxter International made the final drug. They suspended active heparin ingredient in solution and sold it as a vial product. They purchased the active ingredient for heparin from a separate company called Scientific Protein Labs, which was based in Wisconsin. Scientific Protein Labs was actually importing the active ingredient for heparin from a subsidiary in Changzhou, China. SPL Changzhou was bringing in this material from a number of consolidators in China, who in turn were bringing that material in from various workshops in China. And finally, these workshops were getting their material from pig slaughterhouses. The base material for heparin is the mucosal lining of pig intestines. Now, I want to point out that beyond SPL's Changzhou plant, neither FDA nor the company, Baxter, had any oversight of this manufacturing supply chain. This is an image of what one of the upstream processing workshops for heparin looks like. And when Baxter and the FDA went to investigate the contamination issue after it had occurred, in fact, they were denied access to these workshops and to the consolidator selling their product to SPL Changzhou. And in fact, we still don't know today where the contaminant was introduced or who introduced it. In all, up to 149 patients in the US died after taking heparin while it was on the market. While contaminated heparin was on the market. And although causality has not been established in each reported death, all the deceased represented in this chart also exhibited allergic symptoms that were associated with the contaminant. And there's a clear spike in such reported deaths for 2007 and the first half of 2008. And reports essentially ceased when the affected heparin was removed from the market. Although we don't know where exactly the contaminant was introduced, we know that it was almost certainly introduced deliberately and for profit. Oversulfated chondroitin sulfate is about 10 times cheaper to make than actual heparin. It's also able to mimic the properties of real heparin, so it was not caught by standard identity tests performed by the company. In fact, OSCS's similarities to actual heparin existed in the scientific literature. It was studied for the same anticoagulant properties as heparin. So essentially, the playbook was already out there. So what do we learn from the heparin case? Well, the test failed. They were able to be fooled. In fact, it was later discovered that the test for heparin was outdated. The company was unable to secure its supply chain, quite a long and complex supply chain. Even after the fact, neither Baxter nor the FDA were able to access the upstream plants when needed. It's unclear in this case whether an inspection of SPL's Changzhou plant would have prevented this tragedy, but as it turns out, neither Baxter nor the FDA assessed the Changzhou plant before Baxter began using it as a supplier. And when the FDA went retroactively to that plant, they did discover quality issues there. So a number of issues turned up from this case, and ultimately no person or company has been held accountable for the deaths associated with contaminated heparin. In some ways, heparin is a unique case, a perfect storm, if you will. It's a complex molecule with a particularly involved manufacturing supply chain, but it does have implications for other manufacturers as supply chains become increasingly globalized and complex. So I've already shown a graph of increased U.S. importation of drug products. Another way to look at it is the amount of drug ingredients in drugs here sold here that are made outside the country. FDA has estimated that about 80% of the active ingredients and chemicals in U.S. drugs are now made overseas. The FDA has been responsible for regulating the safety of drug manufacturing since about 1938. However, what was historically a domestic industry has changed dramatically. In particular, the U.S. increasingly relies on pharmaceutical products made in China and India. China is by far the U.S.'s number one trade partner for pharmaceutical products, and particularly so for older off-patent molecules. Just last week, actually, a survey was released of pharmaceutical executives, and 70% reported having key suppliers in China, and 54% reported having key suppliers in India, and these were the top two countries so reported. Interestingly, 94% of those surveyed said that raw material suppliers outside of the U.S. were a source of serious to moderate risk. 74% also said that contract manufacturing was a serious to moderate risk, which leads to another trend in the pharmaceutical industry, increased outsourcing of manufacturing processes. In 2007, the CEO of GlaxoSmithKline was quoted as saying, if we can buy it cheaper than we can make it, then of course that's what we're going to do, and they are absolutely not alone. The contract manufacturing industry is growing, and as might be guessed, many companies are looking to Asia for these services. Increased outsourcing necessarily equals increased complexity in terms of manufacturing supply chain. And in fact, the FDA has expressed concern that in some cases, manufacturers aren't doing enough to ensure that their contractors are adhering to quality standards, such as by visiting the contractor's facilities to assess manufacturing quality firsthand. And this is something that companies aren't required to do now. In the past 3 years or so, FDA warning letters to contract manufacturers have increased, while those to the market application holders have stayed the same. And let me stop for 1 second to talk about what manufacturing quality means and why it's important. Manufacturing quality standards, also known as good manufacturing practice or GMP, are established by regulators and refined and implemented by the industry. And it's actually adherence to GMP that is the guarantor of product safety. It's impossible to test every single drug product and ingredient. You need to build quality into the process. Now, this is not to suggest that any drug made outside of GMP is necessarily harmful. We're talking about rare but serious events here, and consistent GMP compliance is a critical means of ensuring these events do not occur. As pharmaceutical manufacturing becomes more globalized and complex, ensuring manufacturing quality becomes more difficult. Particularly as manufacturing moves to emerging economies with younger regulatory regimes, cultures of compliance may not be fully developed or uniform. And cost is not insignificant here. GMP compliance is expensive. By one estimate, it can run as much as 25% of a factory's operating costs. So in the image you see here, drug inspectors are discovering a concealed warehouse at a pharmaceutical plant in China. They found that it contained chemicals brought in from factories that were not certified for pharmaceutical production. So thus, almost certainly, the products made at these factories were not made under manufacturing quality standards. And this plant, where the warehouse was discovered, was exporting to both the US and the European Union. So this instance was discovered, but gaps in oversight may mean that this sort of occurrence goes uncaught. There have been cases where a factory claims to make a product but actually does not make any product at all. The warning letter at the bottom of this slide is from the FDA to another Chinese plant that was claiming to produce heparin. This plant was not involved in the Baxter heparin supply chain I mentioned earlier. It turns out, although they reported manufacturing heparin and, in fact, shipped heparin with their label to the U.S., they did not make any such product. They were bringing it in from two undisclosed locations and relabeling it as their own. Now, this falsified product had been shipped to the U.S. since 2001, but it was not caught by the FDA until 2008. Perhaps more importantly, the U.S. importer and the U.S. authorized registered agent for this heparin product had not identified or addressed the issue in over 7 years. Companies really have the first responsibility to ensure manufacturing quality and product safety. But for drugs sold in the U.S., FDA is responsible for providing meaningful oversight and enforcement of this requirement mostly by inspecting manufacturing plants. Right now, the FDA does not have the resources or capacity it needs to keep up with the increasing number of foreign drug manufacturing plants that need inspection. Now, there's some uncertainty about the exact numbers here, but government data released just 2 weeks ago show a dramatic disparity in the frequency of FDA inspections at home versus overseas. Approximately 40% of U.S. plants were inspected in fiscal year 2009, while just 11% of foreign plants were inspected. In China, only 6% of plants needing inspection received it. Foreign inspections are expensive, and this is a reason that FDA does not go more often. When they do occur, they're shorter. They're pre-announced to ensure that the necessary parties are present, whereas in the U.S., most inspections are surprise inspections. Most foreign inspections are also part of a pre-approval process for a specific drug product. After it's approved, the FDA may not return to follow up to ensure that manufacturing standards are still in place. In addition to lack of resources, FDA also has some problematic gaps in authority. For instance, today the FDA cannot order the recall of a drug, though they do have this power for medical devices and some other products. If the industry does not voluntarily execute a recall, the FDA has to resort to court seizure to remove the product from the market, which is a cumbersome process that has to be executed in every state where there's product to be removed. There are also limited requirements currently for industry to inform FDA when quality or safety issues occur that could affect patients. FDA is not able to destroy products at the border, harmful products that are attempted to be imported. And if they return these products, they may be brought back in through a separate port. So what are the solutions? We've arrived at a few key proposals, and these recommendations come out of the work that I've described. Also, early in the new year, we'll be convening stakeholders to review and discuss these recommendations. They can be categorized broadly into two groups. One, ensure industry accountability for the quality and safety of their manufacturing supply chains, and two, give FDA the resources and authority it needs to regulate globalized manufacturing and protect consumers. For industry accountability, we'd like to see stronger quality systems, better industry oversight of suppliers and contractors, improvement of testing methods, clear management responsibility for implementation of quality systems, and increased requirements for FDA to report any event involving their products where patient harm is a possibility. For the FDA, we certainly need more FDA inspections overseas. We need to improve FDA IT systems and internal capacity, and we need the funding so that FDA can achieve these goals. We also need to remedy authority gaps, such as giving FDA recall power for drugs, and generally give the FDA some better enforcement tools. Thank you very much, and I'd like to acknowledge the significant contributions of Alan Cockle, who directs this work.